Hello, friends, and welcome again to another episode of the Potluck Podcast. I'm Jared Cornut, joined by my co-host, J.R. Parks, and Alan Murray. Guys, how are y'all doing this evening?
Doing well. We had a Bible study for the middle school students that we've been doing on Tuesday nights outside this summer at the church. Had that this evening, and even had some of our up-and-coming sixth graders join us to kind of introduce them to some of the student ministry. So it's been a good evening. How about y'all?
I'm hot. It has been blistering and humid here in Eastern North Carolina today. Hot is just a pervasive word that seems to be in everybody's vocabulary around here these days.
I'm hot as well. It is almost 9 o'clock here in Texas. There's a radio station here in Dallas that on the hour, every hour, they'll tell you what time it is. And they always say in Texas, so they'll say it's 1 o'clock in Texas. So it's almost 9 o'clock in Texas right now. And I'm about to go on a run because it's like below 90 for the first time today. When I got up at 8 o'clock this morning, it was already 90. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and just wait till this evening to do that because it was 101 during the day today. So we're under heat advisory for the third day in a row, but I digress. What are you going to do? It's July in Texas. We got a pretty good episode, I think, tonight because we're not talking about the coronavirus for the first time in what seems like forever. Alan, you want to kind of introduce what we're going to talk about? I think it's going to be a very fruitful and helpful conversation.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the hiring process and how maybe some of how we were hired into ministry, what it looks like to bring somebody on staff. And if you're looking for a job in ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention, how do you go about doing that? And it is not unique totally to the Southern Baptist Convention, though there are some unique aspects of it. Our polity, of course, is congregational. How that congregationalism plays out and looks in every church is different. But by and large, Southern Baptist churches, they always call their own staff people, whether that's the senior pastor, associate pastor, children's pastor, children's minister, music pastor, discipleship pastor, executive pastor, whatever it is. We call our own people. The churches typically vote on those. In a Methodist background or perhaps like Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, where you have an Episcopal policy, where you have bishops that appoint or maybe appoint options for you in your pastorate. There's other people outside of the church making those decisions. But for those of us in the church, within the Southern Baptist churches, we make those decisions ourselves. And where I'd like to begin is not necessarily with our stories of how we got hired into ministry, but Jared Parks, Jared Cornett, you are the senior pastor of a church with a lot of staff people, and since you've been there, you've hired a number of people, including somebody just this week. And so what I thought would be neat is if you could tell us a little bit about what that process looks like as a senior pastor and as a church bringing on staff people, what that process looks like and what you'd recommend churches or individuals to do.
Yeah, so in the year and a few months that I've been at our church, we've called a new student families pastor. We've called a new discipleship pastor, and that's been exciting. And the way that our church functions is if they're without a senior pastor, they hire they vote and nominate a pastor search team. But for every other position on staff at the church, the senior pastor and the personnel committee handle those searches. And so the searches, by and large, are led by church members in council with the senior pastor. And so what we did for both of our positions is these are things that we posted on, one, to just gather resumes. We posted them on seminary websites. So, we're 40 minutes from Southwestern Seminary, so we post on Southwestern's website and on Southern and Southeastern's websites. We have a couple of local colleges here, Baptist Schools, Dallas Baptist University, and Criswell College. We posted there. We also posted on sbcjobs.net and ministrywell.com. And we began collecting resumes for our youth ministry position. I think we brought in around 140, 150 resumes. And so that was a a lot of sifting to go through. One thing I'd always recommend to people is have your resume tidy. If it's sloppy, got errors, misspellings, you might be a great pastor. But that tells me that you have a very you don't have a great attention to detail, because you're looking for a job, and what you're putting in front of us to get a job is not done very well. So often those are thrown out to begin with. And what we really tried to do was we tried to narrow our pool down with our youth pastor down to about 10 or 15 candidates, sent them some questions and tried to narrow it down from there. We did some Skype calls. This is pre-COVID. So we did some calls, but because we're in the Metroplex, several of the guys who applied were within an hour's drive of Dallas. So we were actually able to bring them in to Dallas and interview them. And we actually hired a guy who was in the PhD program with me at Midwestern that I just knew as an acquaintance. We had one seminar together, but we talked. We had kind of kept in touch, and he applied, and we interviewed several guys. We thought we were going one direction and one way, and God just kind of closed that door. And we landed on Travis, and he's doing a phenomenal job with our students. But one thing I always recommend to people is, you know, when we start narrowing down candidates, one of the first things I went was to people's Facebook page and their Twitter page and anywhere else they have social media, anything they had written. And if I started seeing this person was a complainer, this person was someone who liked to stir up arguments, they were largely, on my account, discredited to the committee, because I just didn't think that would be somebody we would work well with on our staff and here at our church. And so those are just some of the things that we do off the bat. We just hired a discipleship pastor this past weekend, largely went through the same process, gathering resumes, interviewing candidates. And one thing I would always tell everybody is don't ever eliminate yourself from a job. So if you look at a job and they're asking for 5 years senior pastor experience or 10 years ministry experience and you don't have it, just apply anyways. Make them eliminate you. Don't eliminate yourself. But those are some things that we did in this past search. It's really helpful if you've got videos of sermons. Our discipleship pastor that we hired, he has some videos of sermons, so we were able to go and listen to some of his sermons. He was somebody that I knew and had mutual connections with, so it's always good to reach out and use your connections with people and have people to recommend you. Those types of things. I hope that's helpful, Alan, and kind of what you were looking for there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really helpful aspect of what it looks like to hire a different staff person. You know, I've not been on a search committee. I've not served as a pastor of a church with a staff, although since being at Centerville, we have hired a pianist, and so I've had a little bit of experience with that, though we didn't, you know, call for resumes or anything like that. Lord providentially brought us somebody close by to play piano for us, and it's worked out really well. One of the things that the chairman of the search committee that brought me on to Centerville always stresses when it comes to a search committee is the importance of prayer and what it looks like. That when you, if you're a member of a church and you're on a search committee, it's not unusual. You know, you mentioned getting 150 resumes. That's not unusual. It can be way more than that, and it can be a daunting task. But how do you go through these? And of course, you do some of the things that you mentioned already, but praying that the Lord would give you direction and unity within a body of a search committee, that you can bring somebody before church is super helpful, I think, as well. And certainly if you're looking for a position in ministry, making it an issue of prayer, praying about where the Lord would have you to be to make it obvious and to open doors is incredibly important. When I think about my own experience in going into ministry, the first church that I pastored, I didn't even have a resume at the time because I wasn't looking to go into the pastorate right then. I got a phone call on a Wednesday night from the interim pastor. I had preached at his church where he was a member, a retired fellow who was filling in, doing interim work in his retirement. And so I had to put a resume together. And that's always been an interesting process. I would recommend if you were looking to send a resume out, get more eyes to look on it than just yours. Get guys for ministry. If you have a director of missions that you confide in, let them look at it. Get somebody that understands English well to look at it. If you're in college or seminary, get professors to look at it. It can be incredibly helpful to have someone's eyes other than yours. to maybe point out something you're missing, point out something that you maybe shouldn't be pointing out, to correct those spelling errors and things like that. And one thing my mentor always told me, you mentioned the social media. He encouraged me to go ahead and put your social media on your resume. And so while I don't have an updated resume, I have no plans of going anywhere anytime soon from where I'm at right now. On my unupdated resume, there's the URL for my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Facebook. That saves the search committee from having to find you or looking at the wrong person who may happen to have your name. Because I promise you, in today's age, a search committee worth their salt is going to look at your Facebook. They're going to look at your Twitter. They're going to look at your Instagram to see what you're posting, who you're following, all of those things. And so I think that's a really helpful thing as well. Praying through the process, of course, like I mentioned, is tremendous. You mentioned, you know, having some acquaintance or contacts with some of the people that you've hired. I think that is tremendous in ministry. You know, the old adage is, and some people beat it up, it's not what you know, but who you know. And it shouldn't be just who you know. It should be what you know and who you know. But it means a lot to a church if you have a reference of somebody that they know, or maybe some kind of close connection. Somebody can know somebody that knows somebody. That makes a big difference, having people who have invested in you in ministry. And one thing that I would also recommend, if you're looking to put together a resume and go into ministry, if you put somebody on your resume as a reference, make sure that you ask them to put you or to put them on your resume. I had somebody who put me down on the resume as a reference without asking me. Well, when I got a phone call from the church, we had a conversation. and so I'd really recommend making sure those people are okay with it, is a huge step as well. With the search committee process for me serving as a pastor, or if you want to use the term senior pastor, even though there's no other staff members besides me, so I'm not sure that I should be called senior pastor other than I'm, you know, 87 years old, according to these guys. You know, having a DVD or YouTube links or both of sermons that you've preached or lessons that you've taught, that can be super helpful. And if you go ahead and send those things in, I think that's very important as well. And one thing that I've done in looking to move into ministry positions with the past two churches that I've served, and I've been blessed at both places, and sent resumes to other places beforehand with all of that, is I always send cover letters that are personalized, letters of intent. I don't just make a form and then type in blah, 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 Baptist Church and send that out. But prayerfully consider writing a cover letter. Hey, here's who I am. Here's why I want to join, or here's why I'm sending your resume. Here's why I'd like to join your church, or become your pastor, become your youth pastor, those kinds of things. I think that's super helpful. And one other thing that I've done with either with the letter of intent or your resume as well, have a condensed philosophy of ministry. I think that can be very helpful as well. For me, I said my philosophy of ministry is to pray, preach, and pastor. That ministry should be soaked in prayer. Pastors should be with their people, and of course, preaching God's word. And so, I'd recommend all of those if you're searching for a job. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah,
I'm just listening to you guys talk, and obviously, I've not been on either end of this scenario, but it sounds to me, I mean, the suggestions and everything sound to me like the suggestions for looking for pretty much any job. That's, you know, all the things that you guys have talked about have all been important in me getting jobs, you know, not related to ministry. So it's pretty, there's a lot of questions around this, but yet when you actually break it down, because I think people think there's some kind of mystery to how do you get hired in ministry, but when you actually break it down, it's very similar to how you get hired in pretty much anything else.
Yeah, you know, I'd recommend there's some great web tools like Canva out there where you can make a free resume that kind of pops. I made a resume on there that had a picture of me and my family on there, and some nice colors that were very tasteful. And it really separates itself from the Word documents that a lot of people get. So if you want to catch the eye of a committee, I think that's a great thing to do. I threw like the Facebook and Twitter, Instagram logos on there and put my URLs right there for them to see. I would always include on your resume when you were ordained, if you've been ordained, when you were licensed to ministry. I think it's also helpful to put any kind of statements that you have, like the Danvers statement or Chicago statement on there and see, or Baptist Faith and Message. What guiding documents do you use that you believe in, that you affirm? I think those are helpful. And Alan, I think you're absolutely right in your cover letter. Make it personal to the church. I always do a little bit of research on the community and put something in there on that, told my family, and made it personal. And I always included two sermons. So that way they don't have to come and ask me for a sermon. They've already got two of them right there. And I agree with you. If you can do CDs or DVDs, there are some churches who are old school and they don't want to use links. They want a DVD or a CD. I had one church that was interviewing me that they really didn't want to do it online. They really wanted me to send them a DVD. So I had to get one of those for them. And so I think all those things are helpful. Prayer, obviously, is very helpful on the end where you're looking. But, yeah, I mean, I think those are all practical things. Like JR said, it's things that you'd be looking for in any other job, and just exhaust your resources, ask around. I know a lot of guys who kind of feel like the hunt for a job takes forever. Remember to be patient with churches. Churches are committees are made up of people who have other jobs and they have families and they go on vacation. And so you're probably not going to hear back immediately from them. And it may be a month before they even narrow down who they want to interview. And so do not bombard committees with when are you going to have an update? When are you going to let us know? I had one guy when we were interviewing for youth pastor. He had a good resume, but he emailed me every single week asking if I had an update when they were going to be interviewing people, and he eliminated himself through that. I just could tell it, but that personality, I'm not going to work well with that guy. Don't need that. So those are some other things. You know, make a nice, clean resume. Get people to look over it. Put those things on it, and be patient and be prayerful.
Yeah, most definitely. I think all of those things are super important, especially you mentioned your doctrinal statement. If you have a personal written doctrinal statement, you may want to send that. Some churches ask for that, some that won't. I think, you know, if you've got affirmation of the Baptist Faith Message 2000, like you mentioned, Danvers statement, things like that, it can be very helpful, particularly in areas where we have churches that are in our convention that may still be intentionally 1963 churches, and they've decided not to be a Baptist Faith and Message 2000 church, although some may affirm the 63 just because they've never updated their bylaws and constitution in 20 or 30 years or something like that. And so I wouldn't rule those churches out as well. But I think all of that is super helpful advice on how to put a resume out there, how to look through them, and all of that. But you may be wondering, you know, how in the world do I get my resume out there? Where do I send it? I mean, do you just go around knocking on the doors of churches and ask, do you have a pastor? You know, do you go to monster.com like you would if you were looking for another job? Should you look on Craigslist? How do you find a job in ministry? And so, Jared Cornett, you mentioned a few of them earlier. If you wouldn't mind repeating some of those and talking about where you've looked in the past or where you've listed jobs.
Yeah, so again, if you have graduated from SBC Seminary, it's the only way you can use their job boards. But if you've graduated or are a student at any seminary, I would recommend going to their job boards. Those churches are intentionally looking through the seminaries. They're going to get an email that says, hey, you have a new applicant from Southeastern Seminary, wherever. So I would highly recommend that. That's going to catch people's eyes when they're applying. SBC.net/jobs is a very popular spot. Most churches will post things there. MinistryWell.com is a very good one. It's predominantly Southern Baptist. There's a couple other jobs on there. But that's a very good site that I have found in the past. Going to a state convention's websites, so Alabama State Convention, North Carolina State Convention, either Texas State Convention, I know, all have job boards. Georgia, Baton Rouge has a job board that you can look at. South Carolina still puts jobs in their paper, their state paper. So you can look at their state paper online and find that. Those are also good avenues that you can look through. And then my church found me through an organization called Vanderblumen. Some churches realize maybe that they're a little bit out of their depths when they're looking for a pastor and they need a little bit of help. And Vanderblumen, their motto is, "We help staff the church." They had my resume on file, thought I might be a good match for Plymouth Park, asked if I'd be willing to interview with them. And that's how the process got started with me coming to Plymouth Park, was Vanderblumen reaching out to me and starting the process that way. And so I would recommend creating a resume on through Vanderblumen's website and searching for jobs. That they work with everybody. So if you are just looking for Southern Baptist, you need to make sure you're applying for Southern Baptist jobs. But that's another great avenue that you can look at. And then just word of mouth. Talk to DOMs. A lot of times smaller churches may not be posting, and or somebody may even know, hey, this church is going to be without a pastor soon. Their pastor is retiring or he's leaving. It's very beneficial, maybe if you know the DOM in that county, that he can submit your resume as a reference for you. I know you know, some guys do that. So those are different ways that you can kind of get your resume out there and get it out there that you're looking.
Yeah, I think all of those are great. I would add that North Carolina, our Baptist paper, still does the same. There are still classified ads on the Biblical Recorder that can be found online and in the print edition of the BR. That's super helpful. One of the things I mentioned, too, about sbc.net/jobs or SBC Job Search, I've never used an online dating website, but if I had to imagine, it's something like that, because they ask you so many questions about all of your preferences when it comes to ministry and, you know, where you would fit. And so if you're the pastor who is only traditional and you won't go to a contemporary church, you can put that in there. And when churches are looking for someone to fill a position, they're going to look for people who are saying, you know, traditional, contemporary, whatever. And so it asks a lot of, I think, really helpful questions that can help match churches with applicants. And it's super helpful. I'm looking at it right now. There are 349 jobs available on SBC Job Search. For me, I knew with my move to Centerville that I needed to be in this geographic area. The whole reason I changed ministry positions was not because I wanted to leave my previous church, but because I needed to take care of my parents, and I still felt that I needed to continue in ministry. And so I knew I was bound by a geographical region. And so part of what I did is I started looking at Baptist Association websites. Many of them will list vacancies. You'll see, you know, our churches or churches of the network, churches of the association, and you'll see if they have an interim pastor or if they have vacancies. And that gives you options to send resumes as well. I contacted the director of missions, network missionary. He's called now for the Baptist Network or Association, whichever you prefer to call it, that I'm in now. Before coming to Centerville, I said, "Hey, here's who I am. Here's what's going on. I'm going to be in town this week. Do you have time? Would you be willing to meet with me?" And my network missionary, he's just a phenomenal brother, super helpful to our Baptist network and me on a personal level. And he met with me that day. The directors of missions, associational missionaries, mission strategists, they've got lots of different names. Those guys are going to know the churches and their associations well. Hopefully they're going to know where their churches are, what they need, what they're looking for. If they're worth their salt, they're going to have a relationship with their church. Not all directors of missions are that way. The one I have now has just been phenomenal, and I had the privilege of working with some other great directors of missions and another association near here. And anyway, I would recommend that as well. You know, making those contacts. A lot of guys will know about problem churches, whether it's a director of missions or a local pastor. I know one dear brother, I was asking him to pray for me about my potential need to move. And of course, he prayed with me, asked him if he could be a reference on my resume, because again, you need to ask people if they can be put on your resume. And he was willing to do it for one of the particular churches, but another one, he said, you know, this such and such church, I'd be glad to recommend you there if you really want me to. He said they'll love you for 6 months, and then they're just going to treat you terrible. That they've done that with, you know, one church after another after another, and so, you know, you've got guys who know churches in their neighboring areas. If you have some connections, it makes a big difference, I think. And of course, you know, it is a job that's being applied for, whether you're looking for an applicant or you are an applicant. But there is a very spiritual aspect to it as well, that you have to, of course, trust in the providence of God. I mentioned prayer as well, but just trust in the providence of God. Sometimes you'll think it's going to work out and it doesn't, and sometimes you don't think it's going to work out and it does. Just trust in His sovereign plan that, you know, if He's got you in one position or one place and He wants to move you to another, He can do that, and He'll put you exactly where He wants you to be if you're willing to pursue Him and His will.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was going to mention after Cornut was the association, because I know we have it on our association. We have those positions on our association's website, and also in our weekly newsletter that gets sent out from the association. Also lists, you know, job postings for associational churches. So just another place to look as well.
Well, guys, any other thoughts on looking for ministry positions or looking to have them filled before we move to our Southern culture topic? Well, hearing none, JR, you inspired this week's Southern culture topic by what you had for Sunday evening dinner. You want to tell us what tonight's topic is?
Sure. Sunday dinner was actually at 12 o'clock, not in the evening, but that's maybe a discussion for a different time for dinner. We may have had that discussion, I don't remember. But anyway, yes, my grandmother, because my dad was in town and she knows he absolutely loves them, made pea dumplings. And that kind of started up this conversation about different kinds of dumplings. I know we've talked about chicken and dumplings, but there's a lot of other types of dumplings out there. So I thought maybe we'd get some thoughts from you guys on what are some other types of dumplings you've seen, you've had, what are some of your favorites, and, you know, we kind of go from there.
Well, we've, of course, discussed chicken and dumplings before, and I think even the mediocrity of Cracker Barrel and their chicken and dumplings, but dumplings are so much more than that, so much more than just chicken. One of the types of dumplings, to be more proper by being improper, that I absolutely love are white cornmeal dumplings cooked with collards. I don't know if that's anything that either of you guys have ever experienced, but growing up, it's something that my grandmother would often fix. She would fix collards and make white cornmeal dumplings to place on top of them and cook. And there was just something as a kid, I wish I could get her to make them again, about having those dumplings and cutting them up and eating them with the collards. Kind of like having collards and cornbread, but you get a dumpling made of cornmeal rather than a cake of cornbread.
I can't say as I've had that one. Like I said, you know, pea dumplings is a common one that my grandma will make on occasion. So that's one that I see quite a bit. I believe when we discussed chicken and dumplings, you spoke about adding peas to your chicken and dumplings. But this is a little different in that it's not chicken and dumplings. It's just the peas cooked with the dumplings. But another one that takes a little different spin, because it's not savory, is apple dumplings. My grandmother makes, and I will fight you over this, my grandmother makes the best apple dumplings on the face of the earth. And they are just absolutely phenomenal. I love to walk into her kitchen on Sunday after church and see that as the dessert. It's just an absolutely phenomenal, especially this time of year when she's getting apples off of her tree to get fresh apple dumplings. It's a wonderful treat.
I like dumplings or dumplings. I'll eat my Cracker Barrel. I would eat them when my grandmothers were alive. I'll eat them when my mama makes them. I'll eat them when Candace makes them. I'm not like the green egg and ham guy from Dr. Seuss. I'll eat them anywhere, any variety. I like the Asian variety of dumplings, which I know is different, but they are delicious as well. I'm an equal opportunity dumpling eater. So if you make it, I'll probably like it, and I'll eat it.
Well, it sounds like you've got that figured out. Yeah, I do like peas with chicken and dumplings or chicken and pastry. My wife does a great job making that, and every time she does, she does not like garden peas. When I say peas, I'm talking green garden peas, not field peas. I just love them. There's something great about mixing them in with chicken and dumplings. I just think it's a wonderful thing. And I'm glad you brought up apple dumplings as well. That's a classic Southern thing. And of course, they can be sweet. There are lots of things that are both sweet and savory. You can have a chicken pie or you can have an apple pie. And so there's often overlap in some of the wonderful things that come in the South in the form of dumplings. I've also had dumplings fixed with dry beans before, kind of similar to what I mentioned with the collards. A white cornmeal, I suppose you could use yellow cornmeal as well, but always white cornmeal growing up, cooked on top. But there's one issue that we really need to address here. We need to hash this out at the Potluck Podcast. Dumplings are not the hardest thing in the world, whether it's chicken and dumplings or these others. Do you guys count instant canned biscuits cut up and dumped in the pot as dumplings, yes or no?
I mean, technically they're dumplings. They're just not good dumplings.
Kind of like barbecue in South Carolina is technically barbecue, but it's not really good.
Wow. I believe I've already answered this. I'll eat them. I won't eat them as joyfully as I would if they were prepared a more traditional way, but I'll still eat them. I'm not going to stick my nose up to it, but it's not the preferred method.
Well, you eat canned biscuit dumplings, but you won't eat fruitcake. It's a travesty. I will continue to pray for you.
Fruitcake just sounds awful. I'm sorry. The only thing that would be worse than a fruitcake is a vegetable cake.
Like carrot cake?
No, I meant like just like a hodgepodge of vegetables mixed together like a fruit cake.
No, well, that does sound pretty terrible.
I'll eat carrot cake.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, Jared, you want to tell everybody how they can keep up with us, and then Jared Cunnett, send us off?
Sure. So you can connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/potluckpodcastSBC, on Twitter @ Potluck Podcast _, Instagram @ Potluck Podcast SBC, and you can email us potluckpodcastsbc@gmail.com. We always love to hear from our listeners. We love to talk about topics that you suggest. So if you have those, definitely send over to us and tell us what are some of your favorite dumplings.
Well, guys, great conversation tonight. Listeners, if you're looking for a ministry job, we'd love to support you in that. You can add Alan Murray to your resume. Contact me privately for his contact info so you can add him without asking. And good luck to you out there if you're searching. Let us know how that's going and how we can pray for you. Join us next time. Stay Baptist time. Stay Baptist hour. Stay Baptist, my friends.